Permit me to remove the cover.
Well, it's a machine of some kind. I recognize the type of piston valves, the relays, the tubes, the rods.
Let me plug it in for you. Yes. Here's the outlet. Now, I press the starting button. So,
what does it do?
Suppose you remove the plug from the outlet.
All right. There. Hey, it's still going.
Gentlemen, this is our power source. We use it for transportation and similar things. Duplicate it. This is your third problem.
Well, we'll give it a try.
I shall be most interested in the results. Most interested. Okay.
Cheers. Well, Temritz, the machine's still going.
Yeah, I see. I wonder, can we build a perpetual motion machine?
Well, it was a challenge, all right. A greater challenge than either of us had anticipated in our wildest dreams. Our heads reeled with the enormity of the idea. But we worked and worked. I don't even know how long it was. I think it was about 3 weeks. Finally, we summoned Florbesch and he came into the laboratory to see our model and his, side by side, both humming away with no plugs in the wall.
There it is.
You have actually done this.
Yes. It's been running a week now, and it shows no signs of slowing down.
It actually works. But how?
A complex hyperspace function. We're making a full report. Of course.
I hope you realize that this is quite a stump in technology.
Well, we didn't think we could do it until we had to. So we did.
Why didn't think you could do it either? This little box on our model, have you examined it yet?
No. That nearly threw us. Apparently, it's tightly sealed. We didn't waste time getting it open. We bypassed that. What is the darn thing, anyway?
That, gentlemen, is our power source.
Your what?
A photoelectric amplifier that should keep the model running for another, 2 weeks. Then?
Then what?
Don't you see? We do not have a perpetual motion machine. We have hooked you into inventing one for us. We didn't really think you could. It took our best minds to rig up a model convincing enough to fool you.
Well, I'll be...
That does it. That invalidates the whole agreement. Well, now that we're through, we'll take our machine and go back to Earth.
I am afraid that is not possible.
What?
By the statute in effect here for more than 700 years. Any research done in a government lab is automatically the property of the Dumarangi government. I am sorry, but I shall have to confiscate your project, gentlemen.
We'll see about that.
And furthermore, we are forced to confiscate you yourselves. We need you to instruct us how to build these machines.
Florbesch, Earth won't let you pull a trick like that. This is cause for war.
Oh, I... Why should a terrible war come about over the custody of two men?
I demand to see our consul.
Of course. That is your right, I suppose. I will arrange it.
Well, there it was. Now that it was too late, I knew what the cause of my uneasy feeling was. The consul from Earth was a white-haired, sturdy gentleman with a ruddy face and a suave manner. He came to see us in our hotel room that same evening.
Now, please, rest assured we shall make every effort to extricate you. Do you realize what immense scientific prestige you've given to Earth?
That lot of good that does us now.
Well, authorities on Earth have kept me informed on the progress of the two Dumarangis. They got through the first two projects as easily as you two did.
We already know that. What of it?
Well, now, this is the delicate part of the whole affair. I hate to put it into words, but in fact, the people on the Earth end of this deal had much the same idea as the Domerangi.
You mean another double cross? They put them to work on perpetual motion, too?
No, not quite. They rigged up a phony anti-gravity machine and told them to duplicate it.
Good night. What happened?
Well, nothing yet. I'm told they're working on it very hard. Sooner or later, if they're at all as clever as you two, perhaps they'll hit on it. They'll just have to be patient and sweat it out until they do. And we can make an even exchange.
Well, of all the cockeyed situations, you mean we have to wait until they invent anti-gravity?
Well, that's the general idea. In the meanwhile, as I say, I will insist that you be shown every courtesy here on Domerang.
Why, they may never discover a workable anti-gravity. Then what happens to us?
Wait a minute. Marner?
Yeah?
Do you know anything about tensor applications in gravitational fields? Huh?
What are you driving at?
Well, I'm thinking of the ideal lab setup they gave us. Do you think those two Domerangi on Earth would mind taking credit for someone else's anti-gravity theory if they were approached properly?
Hey, that's right. They must be as anxious to get home as we are.
Hey, what in the world are you talking about?
Consul, would you be above a bit of smuggling, diplomatic immunity and all that?
Well, now, I don't know.
Build the anti-gravity machine. You smuggle it to Earth and slip it to the Domerangi. Then use it as a talking point for a trade. What do you say?
Well, I'll admit it does seem the only way out. Very well, gentlemen. I'll do my very best. But there seems to be just one hitch.
What's that?
You still have to invent that anti-gravity machine.
Oh, we'll invent it all right. Because, you see, we have to. Come on, Kemmerich. Let's get to work.
WMUK Special Projects has presented Double Dare, written by Robert Silverberg. Robert Luscombe was featured as Marner, with John Scott as Kemmerich. The consul was played by Mark Spink and Tom Small as Florbench. Future Tense is produced and directed by Ellie Siegel.